So today describes the Adivas, means like eve, the day, already the auspiciousness is beginning. Like we see even in the Western world, you know, they have the Christmas Eve, New Year's Eve. The eve is a very important day and meaningful day in preparation for what is about to come. And what is about to come is the Navadvip Dham Parikrama, which really, in its modern manifestation, you know, to again the mercy of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Guru Maharaj is outlined in one of his poems in praise of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Guru Dham, Granth Dham, Gaura Dham, Nama Dham, Uda, Bhakti Dham, Buri Dham, Bande, Bhaktivinoda Dham, Sada. He's giving a list of what are the contributions of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Guru Dham, he gave us Guru, means Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Granta Dham, he gave us all of our books. Because really, Chaitanya Charitamritam, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, all really given by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Some manifested through Gaudiya Math and Saraswati Thakur, but Bhaktivinoda Thakur as the main agent, and Saraswati Thakur, agent of distribution. And Guru Dham, Granta Dham, Gaura Dham, well, Nama Dham, Muda, the holy name, Bhakti Dham, Buri Dham, devotion, culminating in Radha Dasyam, but this Gaura Dham. We generally say Bhaktivinoda Thakur revealed the birthplace of Mahaprabhu. Recently we know that Srila Acharya Maharaj, he inaugurated a new mat in Tarakeshwar. That's the proper Tarakeshwar. And that's somewhere between Calcutta and Bandal Junction, for those who know Bandal Junction, which means, namely, Madhusudan Maharaj. And years ago, many a moment was passed by many a devotee in Bandal Junction. But anyway, and this Tarakeshwar, it's really Gaura Mandala Bhumi Jeva Chintamani Mani. We're told the whole of Gaura Mandal is Chintamani. Must be seen that way. I would sometimes test the devotees with regard to Calcutta on this point. They're saying, it's all Chintamani. If you're not seeing that way, you don't have the proper eyes. Bhaktivinoda Thakur also had a place in Calcutta, a Bhakti Kutir, Bhakti As, Bhaktivinoda Asan kind of place. And Varaha Nagar, near where Dum Dum Mahaprabhu came through there. But so all of Bengal, as we told before, that Rarda Desh is sometimes referred to as that place where the Ganga does not flow or the Pandavas did not visit. So from that point of view, we say, oh, inauspicious. It for some time considered in that way. But then we see in the pastimes of Mahaprabhu, this is mentioned in Chaitanya Bhagavat of Srila Saraswati Thakur, so many great devotees appear in East Bengal. And Radhadesh, part of Radhadesh is in West Bengal, even Gurudev Guru Maharaj. But Pundarik Vidyanidhi comes to mind, and others. Saraswati Thakur is explaining, if it was the Pandavas visiting that made some place auspicious, and they're not coming, then that tells us in, which qualified a place as inauspicious. Or, then that means what makes it auspicious is the presence of the devotees of the Lord. So therefore, Mahaprabhu is sending these great devotees to appear in those places. But all throughout Bengal, in that Charitamritam, Chaitanya Charitamritam, you have the what? Anubhasya is Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Amrita Pravaha Bhasya Saraswati Thakur. He gives great detail, all these different areas and their significance, which devotees appeared there and their family lines, the deities that appeared. Like, it's all within the purports. And Srila Swami Maharaj Prabhupada, his purports, for the most part, are translations of the Anubhasya Bhaktivinoda Thakur and the Amrita Vrabhavasya of Saraswati Thakur. That's what the, where it says, go to get off at this railway, take a train to this. That Saraswati Thakur did all these things, and sometimes with Bhaktivinoda Thakur, to verify. But so what I meant was saying is that, so in Tarakeshwar, where Srila Acharya Maharaj just established a new mat, Guru Maharaj said Bhaktivinoda Thakur had two dreams. He was visiting there. He had two dreams there. And interestingly, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was, he is now finished with his occupational duties, his service, what they call service, and it means the government service. And he was thinking to spend his final days in Vrindavan. That's why it's interesting to note. So he's thinking like that. Now he's going to go in the retired stage. We had heard when he and Saraswati Thakur went on parikrama together, which just think about that for a moment. Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, there, it reminds us of the original Navadvipa Mahatmya's Nityananda Prabhu and Jiva Goswami, and then later Narottam and Srinivas, and then revived by Saraswati Thakur and continued by Guru Maharaj, the Chaitanya Saraswat Mahat, Gurudev, up to the present day. But when they were touring, and that's when Bhaktivinoda Thakur who made these astonishing statements saying, you know, Vrindavan is for the shallow men, shallow thinkers. A man of real bhajan will prefer Kurukshetra. And why? Not to go in detail here, but meaning Vrindavan, it's a qualified statement. Vrindavan is the land of union. What is Kurukshetra's specialty? Separation has reached its zenith point. Therefore, the serving necessity of Radharani is greatest. If you will serve at that time, you'll draw the greatest remuneration. So it's a sort of spiritual strategy of someone in super advanced consciousness. But be that as it may, he is thinking of going to Vrindavan to spend his final days there. Remember, he's at retirement age. And in Tarakeshwar, he has these two dreams where Mahaprabhu is saying, don't go to Vrindavan. There, I have some service for you to do here, and that is to discover my birthplace, to uncover that. And twice. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is thinking, like, then give me some kind of a sign. He's in Tarakeshwar. Where do I go? And he gets some inspiration. And he tells the government he'd like to extend his service period and be transferred into Krishnanagar, right, as a district magistrate. And he's really finished, but now saying, oh, you know, I can go on a little longer. And when he goes there, Guru Maharaj also said, or it's mentioned by maybe Bhaktivinoda himself and his writings, that when he decided to go, he was very ill at the time. It's incredible how these things unfold, the drama of Leela and of the great devotees. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he's extremely ill, like on the verge of leaving the world ill. And he says, like Guru Maharaj said about going to Puri, if I'm on the train to Krishna Nagar, and we've seen that little narrow gauge train, we got to ride on that in the 70s. It's no longer, you can still see some of the tracks, but it's no longer running.
It's been replaced with a broad gauge line.
Now. Oh, okay. But there used to be narrow gauge, means the rails like this, and a little train, it goes very, very slowly. Bhaktivinoda Thakur used to ride that. And he's saying, if he should leave on the way to Krishna Nagar, at least I was going in the right direction. He's risking everything to do this. And he goes there. And as we will find later in Navadita Mahatmyam, about Surabhi Kunja and one connected to Indra, and Swananda Sukhada Kunja, which is really Lalita Sakhi's place in Vrindavan. And by the way, Guru Maharaj said that Saraswati Thakur in Radhakund, he did establish for Gaudiya Mata what he called Braja Swananda Sukhada Kunja. And Guru Maharaj said, this is interesting because generally you would think the Vrindavan one is the original and then the one on Navadvip's side is extension. But he, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, having established Swananda Sukhada Kunja there, he called the other one Braja, the Braja manifestation of that. And then it relates to Mahaprabhu's appearance, Rup Damodar, Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikriti Hladini Shaktarasmad. Ekat manavapi bhuvi pura deham bedam gatoto. Which came first? As Guru Maharaj said, the gift or the giver? Right. Gaur Leela, Krishna Leela. Really proper understanding? They're running in parallel eternally. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he's searching for some signs. So as the district magistrate, he has access to all the government records, and particularly deeds, the transfer of land from one party to another. This is how he found it. And there was something called hunter's records. So we assume hunter was some shive or, you know, company that did this. So we know. This we can thank the British for, their meticulous record keeping. So he's looking through these records and he sees a deed of transfer, and the area is called Myapur, Mayapur, Myapur, Mayapur, spelled like that, not M-A-Y-A, but M-Y, because English person going, my should be M-Y. Mayapur. And he says, oh, Then while living in his place on the Surabhi Kunj, or the Swananda Sukhada Kunj, that part, which is across from Mayapur, he has some vision. Guru Maharaj said, really, of a palm tree. One time, this big palm tree with radiance. And then another time he's seeing like a city. And so he's saying, I'm going to search for that palm, because you're not going to find a city there. I'm going to search for the palm tree. And he goes to that area where, from his place, he's taking Krishna Nam, as we heard, the one god brother of Guru Maharaj, who was his next door neighbor of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So he recalled, which one was that? Bharati Maharaj or the Puri Maharaj, one of them. Yeah. He would hear Bhaktivinoda Thakur at 3 o'clock in the morning taking Krishna Nam. And he said, but sometimes loud and wailing, he said, as if crying out to a long lost distant lover, you know, Krishna. It was arresting, you know, it was riveting to hear that. And that's Bhaktivinoda Thakur. We also know from, and he's sitting on, it's like a cement bench, like a couch made out of cement. They have on the portico or the, what do you call that part? The porch, right? You see to this day, it's a cement bench, and normally they put a cushion or something, but he's there taking Krishna Nam, and he feels every morning around the time of early in the morning, this breeze, 4:30 or so, going by, coming from the direction of Nisringapalli and going in a particular direction. And he came to understand by his deep meditation, shall we say, that Nisringadeva was attending the Mangalarati in Mayapur. If you think, who is Mahaprabhu? Nisringadeva wants to go to his Mangalarati. So anyway, he's looking for that palm tree, and he finds he's inquiring from the local people about this area, and that's when he's told by some frustrated farmers, they're saying, oh, that land is not good for anything. Nothing, we've tried to grow things, nothing grows there except Tulsi. And he's like, aha. And he goes to the Mayapur and the Janmasthana of Mahaprabhu, and there's Tulsi growing everywhere, but not other things. And like neem tree. And even though he's Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Mahaprabhu is appearing to him in a dream, giving this order. What does he do? Is he overly confident in his own assessment or judgment of things? No, still, he's consulting with higher Vaishnavas, what he considers higher Vaishnava. And that means Vaishnava Sarvabhauma Sri Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. Right? And Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, he lived to be 125 years old. At this time, hunchbacked, unable to walk. He's carried in a wicker basket by his attendant, Bihari Das. And I now know that's not entirely unusual from having seen the people long ago go to Badrinath, what they call Palki. There were men who would carry others on their back up to the people who were like older or incapable. So it is like a system. But still, this Bihari Das, we can understand, extraordinary to be that, provide that seva for Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur wants him to verify. And he goes there. And what do we find? That who is hunched over and basically showing invalidity, is that the word? Yeah. He leaps out of the basket and he's jumping off the ground, like a meter off the ground, in ecstasy, celebrating that this is in fact the birthplace of Mahaprabhu. And that way Bhaktivinoda Thakur is verifying. Right? And we just as a footnote, he is considered to be Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Vaish Guru, that he took in the final days Babaji Vaish from Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. So Gauradham. But that we think, oh, so Bhaktivinoda Thakur revealed the birthplace of Mahaprabhu to be Mayapur. And then they, Guru Maharaj said, on the high ground, because some was submerged in water. And also, I believe they found some mridanga remnant of Chan Kazi nearby, and Srivasangam. All these places were determined. So not only the birthplace of Mahaprabhu, but then where was Srivasangam, the house of Advaita Acharya. It starts to sort of expand from there. And then we see in the Navadvipam Mahatmyam, Gauradham, he's revealing the nine islands of Navadvip and all the significant pastimes that happened there, some of them millions of years ago, millions and millions of years ago. Maharaj, starting tomorrow, right, we're fortunate to have Srila Bhakti Ranjan Madhusudan Maharaj here. He's going to read the Navadvipam Mahatmyam every morning. Just as we're told, Gurudev wrote a prayer. You may have seen it. It was in the 1956 edition of The Harmonist, like a poem, song, prayer to implore everyone to go on the Navadvipam Parikrama. All right, yes. So, but, and you see, and when you hear that, you go, well, then let us go. And for those of us who don't have the good fortune this year to actually go there, still through the medium of the Navadvipam Mahatmyam, we can go on that parikrama by the grace of Bhaktivinoda Thakur by reading the descriptions. Like tomorrow is a particular day and places will be visited. So those are the, or just follow whatever it says in the book, I think. But each day something will be covered. And those who've been know that in many places there's now a temple or some memorial in the name of pastimes that took place there, or great souls or personalities who appeared there. But what I found interesting once, because it's not true of every place, like where the pastime about the sky and the clouds and the rain, there's one part about this. Vaguely you may remember. Anyway, the point I want to make is there's no temple there. So we just enter this field and stay in that area and read from the book some description of what took place there. And it made me realize that actually, in the time of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, it was all like that. We take these things for granted. Guru Maharaj says also, when he came to Gaudiya Math, they didn't have some, you know, temples, grand, gorgeous temples everywhere. He said, you know, it wasn't that I was attracted to the architecture. I was attracted to the dignity of the concept. So we should remember, when Bhaktivinoda Thakur was there, what would be visible to the eye would be rice fields and, you know, the beautiful divine environment of Navadvipam. But all these places indicated by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in the Navadvipam Mahatmyam, he pinpointed where they are. So he said, Gauradham, he revealed the whole dham. In another place, Guru Maharaj compares it to, topography, like cartography, when you make a map. So he's saying, he's revealing the topography of Navadvipam, so we can, then all the pilgrims on the pilgrimage can go and visit those different places. And under his guidance, understand their significance. And this brings up the point of understanding the appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, if you look within particularly Sri Chaitanya Charitamritam, the beginning references are to what is, shall we say, commonly understood or attributed to Krishna. We always refer to Srila Jiva Goswami and his satsandarbhas for Krishna conception. But one thing you'll notice there, they're very elaborate, they're very deep, they're very philosophical, and they're unassailable. But one thing you'll notice is that to enter this discussion, it's a prerequisite that you accept Srimad Bhagavatam. If you don't accept not only the validity of Srimad Bhagavatam, but its supremacy, that it's the Mahapurana, that it, you know, Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam, you know, it's the Super Purana, it's the culmination, Srila Vyasadeva's magnum opus, it's his greatest work, it's his final work, it's his final gift to the world. It's through the Srimad Bhagavatam that you enter Krishna conception proper and even understand what's given in all the other Puranas. So when we study Srila Jiva Goswami, it's not that a lot of time is spent trying to convince someone about the validity of the Vedas or the Puranas. That's a given. If you don't accept that, I remember something Prabhupada said once. He said, those who do not accept the Bible, he said, they're called heathens, he said. Similarly, those who do not accept the Vedic authority, they're called atheists. Like that. So it's a given that you accept Veda as revealed truth, and by extension, the ultimate expression, Nigama Kalpaturo Galitam Palam Shukumukaram Ritradavasamyatam Pibata Bhagavatam Rasamalayam Muhuraho Rasika Bhubibhavukaha. This is the Prayojan Tattva Sloka. First one, Sambandhagyan. Second one, Dharma, you know, Janmadyasyataha. Dharma Projita, not being envious of the devotee, no cheating religion. That's the Abhideya Sloka. And what's the Prayojan Tattva? Means, you know, the conclusion, the fruit, the ultimate goal is in this one. Nigama Kalpaturo Galitam Palam. Vedas are like a kalpa vriksha, fulfilling all desires. But what is the fruit of that tree? You can approach them for whatever you want. Right? Gita, Tri Vedamam, Somapa, Putapapa, Yagya Arisva, Swagatam, Pratyante. Most people would go like, how do you get to the heavenly planets? That's what I like to know, where you have the Nanda Kananagar, you know, 10,000 years of non-stop enjoyment. How do you get that? That's what they're going for, right? Trivedya, the three. Trivedya mam, somapa, drink the soma, somapa, etc. Right? But we're told here, the fruit of the tree of Veda is Bhagavatam. As the Bhagavatam is... the Veda is a kalpataru. Is someone speaking at the same time? Oh, like translating? Huh?
Yeah.
Oh. They need, because if it's not translation, they need to be like quiet. The Vedas compared to kalpa vriksha. That tree, wish-fulfilling tree. Then we're told Vedanta is the flower produced from that tree. Like we hear in the modern hymn about floral essences, right? The essential thing is in there, and fragrance. But then that flower gives way to the fruit, palam. Nigama kalpataror galitam palam. This fruit, the fruit of Veda and Vedanta, has been produced in the Mahapurana, Srimad Bhagavatam. Then we say, Shuka Mukaram Rita Dravasamyatam. And this nectar is being relished by Sukadeva Goswami, whose name Suk also double meaning. One is parrot. There's parrot in the sense of meaningless repetition, right? No understanding of what, like a parrot can repeat something. In English, we call it parroting. Are you parroting something? It means you're saying something without any understanding of what it is. That's not Sukha's position. Why the parrot comparison? We're told also, when a parrot's beak breaks the skin and tastes the fruit becomes even more tasteful. We're told, Shukha Mukaram Ritradrava Samyatam. He's relishing this. It's becoming more relishable in the process. Muhuraho rasika bubibab. The rasiks and bhavuks, they will repeatedly relish what is given there. So the Srimad Bhagavatam is describing Krishna in a particular way. Vedanti tat tatva vidas tatvam yajjnanam advayam. Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavaniti, Shabyute, saying that one thing to be known is Krishna, but that Krishna can be understood and as Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan. And just as a footnote, many times they say impersonal Brahman. That's just a misconception of Krishna's effulgence. Just like it mentioned, with the naked eye, the sun is blinding. Right? So they're saying from an external point of view, from a remote vision, the Brahman effulgence, in a similar way, you can say is blinding to those who do not have devotion. They're not perceiving the personality of Godhead. And Guru Maharaj goes so far as to say, even, you know, the effulgence of Krishna is, you know, minute personalities, like we're told, Brahmajyoti, Jivas, etc. So it's not, consciousness can never be divorced of personality. The Brahmajyoti is something that is spiritually conscious. It is not unconscious substance, but is only perceived, misperceived as being impersonal. By a certain group of people, right? Anyway, Brahma, Paramatma, his localized aspect in the heart of every living being. No, this is the target of the yogis. And just as a little footnote in the modern world, understand the goal of yoga in its general sense, targeting Paramatma, that's not Paramananda, Krishna. Paramananda Krishna means Radha and Krishna, Shakti and Shaktiman, Purna Shakti, Purna Shaktiman. You may notice, if you've seen some pictures or read some descriptions, Paramatma does not have a consort. So Bhagavan proper begins with Purna, Shakti and Shaktiman, Lakshmi Narayan, Sita Ram, Rukmini Dwarakesh, Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan. So these descriptions are there. So I think what was described in the Upanishad as his effulgence or his localized aspect, it's really references to Krishna, but in the beginning of Chaitanya Charitamritam, Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami is revealing to the devotees who accept Krishna conception. This is the point I mean. Those who accepted Bhagavatam as being producing the fruit of the Veda Kalpa Vriksha, they were Krishna-loving people, as Saraswati Thakur would say. He's telling them, so as Krishna was described that way, Brahma, that's Mahaprabhu's effulgence. Paramatma is his localized aspect. He is Swayam Bhagavan. And that song of Lochandas Thakur and elsewhere Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the line is there, is it, Avatar Sar, Gaur Avatar. But what's the other line? Saba Avatar, Saba Shiromani, Kevala Ananda Kanda. Saba Avatar, you know, he's Swayam Bhagavan is Krishna, and Mahaprabhu is Swayam Bhagavan Krishna. He's not an angsa or an anga or some, you know, expansion or extension. Just as in the Bhagavatam, and Kaviraj Goswami is explaining these things, saying in the Bhagavatam, remember, Sukadev Goswami is speaking the Bhagavatam to Parikshit Maharaj and these assembled sages from all over the universe. But Suta Goswami is there. Later, he's speaking the Bhagavatam to 60,000 sages in the forest of Naimisharanya. Right? And there, having given the list of all the avatars and incarnations, of which Balaram appeared, Krishna appeared, and he then realizes there's some chance that they're thinking that Narayan, you know, these are all incarnations of Vishnu, Narayan, so that Krishna is an avatar of Narayan, an incarnation. To dispel that, having completed the list, although Krishna and Balaram appear there, he then says, Ete Angsa Kalak Pungsa. What I've described here, some are Angsa, some are Kala, some are parts, some are expansions. He's saying, but Krishna stu Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna stu. But Krishna, he's Swayam Bhagavan, he's the original. Which in the Brahma Sanghita is saying, what is the verse? Departure eva disantam abhupetya. Saying, like, when you have candles, there's one original candle, and you light another candle, but still there's we could say, oh, they're equal in terms of power and of giving light, but still there's this original candle. And as a footnote, Guru Maharaj also uses this as an example about devotion. So, aspiring devotees are like, you could say, unlit candles. Right? A devotee is like a lit candle. Bhaktya sanjataya bhaktya. You have this potential, but you need to be lit by another person who's lit, illumined, and they come and light you. That's what it is. Udoy means, you know, awaken. So to awaken, that means there has to be something there to begin with. So anyway, but back to this. So Krishna stu Bhagavan Swayam, he's the original from which all the others have come. Just as it's pointed out, Srimati Radharani is the original from which the Braja Devis of Vrindavan have come, the Mahishi queens of Dwarka have come, the Lakshmis of Vaikuntha. She's the origin of all of them. So, Kaviraj Goswami, in the beginning, is saying, telling something astonishing if you can understand this in context. Up to this point, this is not known. If it is known, it's in a hidden position. And even the slokas that prove this are all, they're esoteric and encrypted. Right? Like we hear Prahlad Maharaj in the seventh canto, when he's praising the Sringadev. But he says, but in Channak Kalo, in the Kali Yuga, you're hidden. Because why? You don't come as the personality of Godhead. And this hidden can tell us different things. One is that he's not coming as God. What is he coming? As a devotee of Krishna. Another way he's hidden, what, you know, beneath the Radha Bhava Dyuti Subalita, enveloped in the heart and halo of Radharani. So in different ways he's hidden. But so the acharyas who can extract the inner meaning of the scripture, they're saying, oh, see here in this statement of Prahlad Maharaj, he's alluding to the appearance of Mahaprabhu. In the 10th canto, when Garga Rishi is giving, he's like the Garga Sangita, not Garga Rishi. He's an astrologer. He's an astrologer I approve of, actually. Saraswati Thakur, Garga Rishi, Nilambar Chakravarti, accept no substitute. But he's saying, what is the line? Rakta, Shukla Raktas Tatapita, saying, oh, this child, he's telling Nanda Maharaj, and you know, he appears in different colors in different ages. In this age, he's in the Shamala, blackish color. He's saying, but he has a pita. That means yellow or golden in another age. So there's a encrypted reference to Mahaprabhu. Even in the Mahabharata, right? This famous Suvarna Varna Hemango, Barangas Chandanagadi, Sanyasakritchamashanto, Nishta Shanti Parayana, Suvarna Varna. Although he would be black, he's golden colored, Hemanga, all of his limbs are golden and effulgence, Sanyasakritchamashanto, he takes sannyas to save the world. That's mentioned there. And the Srimad Bhagavatam, there are two mysterious verses in the 11th canto that appear to be describing Ramachandra. They end in this line, Bande Mahapurushate Charanaravindam. We're always telling Mahaprabhu, even in that Prahlad sloka, it says Mahapurusha Chanakalo, it's there. So Mahaprabhu, Mahapurush, like Mahaprabhu, here, Bande Mahapurushate Charanaravindam. And one says, Tyaktva Sudushta Dasurepshita Raja Lakshmin, Dharmista Arja Bachasa Yadagara Ranyam, Mayam Ridam, Doita Ipsitaman Vadavad, Bande Mahapurushate Charanaravindam. So from the Ramachandra point of view, it's saying like, he has tektwa sudushita shreepshita rajalakshmi, has to give up the royal throne, dharmista arjabachasa. Arjabachasa means because of the curse of a Brahmin, he has to enter the forest in exile. And then mayam rigam, maya takes the form of a deer and seduces Sita, and then she's kidnapped, and it's describing like that. It's amazing. Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur. Yay! Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur says, oh, what is this? The Raja Lakshmin, that means the imperial throne of Krishna Prem in the heart, the Vishnu Priya. That he has to give up. And the curse of a Brahmin, remember the one who says, if I can't go to the kirtans, then nobody can. And he's saying, you will never be happy. You will never enjoy happiness. And Mahaprabhu is like, thank you. Because it's how you mean. You'll never experience mundane happiness. What most people are searching for in this world, he's saying, you'll never have that. Is that a blessing or a curse? It's in the form of a curse. It's a blessing. So he's, because of that and being abused by the people in Navadvip, he enters the forest, Aranya. Like that's one of the principal sannyas names, Aranya. I think for obvious reasons. So it means the forest. We were just talking about Naimisha, Aranya. You see this word, Brinda Aranya. So when Guru Maharaj is interpreting this sannyas name, if you see Aranya, it's not just the woods. You know, it's me and Vrindavan. Not just the four. And his karma sannyas is forbidden in Kali Yuga. Right? But not Vaishnava sannyas. Anyway, so he's in response to the curse of a Brahmin, then he won't be able to enjoy mundane life. He has to take sannyas. And then what does it say? The mayam rigam, saying, the jiva souls, like the fools that we are, we're running after maya. And it's saying, so what is he doing? He's chasing after those souls who are chasing after maya. We're running away from him, running after maya, and he's coming after us to save us. And it's saying, you know, Bande Mahapurushate Charanaravindam. To that Mahapurush, that Mahaprabhu, I worship his lotus feet. Also in the 11th canto, the Navayogendras means, nine king, yogi king. King, you know, not that they're kings, but they're like the king yogis, yogis who are in the highest position. Not to misunderstand that. Navayogendras, Maharaj Nemi and others, they're giving, Karabhajan Rishi, they're giving instructions. It's a very important section of the Bhagavatam. And there they say, what does it say? Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishnam Sango Pangashtra Parshadam Yagye Sankirtana Praye Yajantihi Sumedasa. It's very beautiful. Saying Krishna Varna. Can mean he's in the category of Krishna, or Krishna Varna also means syllables. Means Krishna. Always these syllables Krishna are coming from him. So it's like so you can say, well, he's Krishna, but he's Krishna taking the name of Krishna. But he said no, but it's not Krishna in the normal sense. Akrishnam. Krishna also means black. Akrishnam means the opposite of black, in this context means gold. So they're saying, he's Krishna, but here's Krishna, he's become golden, and he's always, on his lips are coming the name Krishna. Who can that be? But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that he descended to inaugurate the Nam Sankirtan movement. As we told in Chaitanya Bhagavat, that the society of the day, really, although they're steeped in Vedic knowledge and mantra and so many things, they're distracted. They've gone off the central path, and they're using all this advanced knowledge they have for whimsical pastimes, like the marriage of monkeys, the marriage of cats. These people would have loved the internet. But anyway, so that's their condition. At the time of Mahaprabhu's appearance, what happens? He's come to inaugurate Nam Sankirtan. So it's a lunar eclipse. Their custom is at that time to chant the names of Hari to counteract any inauspiciousness. So while he's appearing, everyone's chanting the names of Hari, including the Muslims who are mocking the Hindus for saying Hari. Hari, Hari, Hari. So everyone's engaged in Hari Nam Sankirtan. What to speak of Advaita Charja and Haridas Thakur. So the they know that he's appearing. The other people are celebrating kind of without knowing, but it's like the ultimate version of Agyata Sukriti. They're getting so much benefit from taking the holy name while Mahaprabhu is appearing. And it's only appropriate that the person who came to inaugurate Nam Sankirtan will be accompanied by that. And we're told it was Advaita Acharya, because before Krishna comes, he sends Guru Varga, means parents, uncles, etc., like Garga Rishi, but Nanda, Yashoda, and others, elderly gopis, gopas. In Mahaprabhu's case, means Nilambar Chakrabarti, Sachimata's parents, Jagannath Misra's parents, all of them, they must all be in position. Then he appears. But Advaita Acharya, he's so compassionate for the people seeing that how they're wasting their lives. And and these are not, in one sense, like just in the fallen souls of Kali Yuga who later benefit from this, but it's almost tragic, another type of tragic in the sense that they're so qualified and so close and not getting it. That's even more lamentable from one point of view, to be so qualified. These people, they appear from the soil of Navadvip. No, it's divine arrangement, as he appeared before in so many other incarnations, as Swayam Bhagavan, Avatar Sar, all the avatars come within him. So he can be addressed as Nrisinga, Vaman, Madhusudan, and all these different ways, because they're there. But on this point, Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami is saying, in one place in Chaitanya Bhairava, says, I was lying in the ocean of milk and I heard the loud calls of Advaita. So that means Kiradakshai Vishnu. And he's saying, Kaviraj Goswami is saying, that's not untrue, but is that really a glorification to call him Kiradakshai Vishnu? Who's, you know, part of a part of a part is Kiradakshai Vishnu. Right? Because of Balaram, from Balaram comes the Chatur Vyuha, Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradumna, Aniruddha, the second Chatur Vyuha, the Purusha avatars. So he's saying, really? No, he is Swayam Bhagavan. So Advaita Acharya, he who's Mahavishnu, he knows all about the Vishnus. Means he's Karna Dakshai Vishnu. Then there's Garbhadakshai Vishnu, Kiradakshai Vishnu. He knows all about Kiradakshai Vishnu. But through him, I mean, not, I don't want to be, you know, struck down by Kiradakshai Vishnu. That's how all the avatars come into the world, through Kiradakshai Vishnu. It's a wonderful thing. But Advaita Acharya is saying, what is that? Tulasi dala matrena jalasya chulakina va vikrinite swamatmanam bhaktebhyo bhaktabatsala. He knows Krishna very well, that he is bhaktavatsala. Like we sing in the song, Bhaja Bhakata Vatsala. So he's thinking, what is the way to his heart? The tulsi and Ganga Jal. This is astonishing. So with some tulsi manjaris and some Ganga Jal in his palm, he's petitioning the Lord to descend. And then we know at the same time, Krishna in the spiritual world, he's astonished by observing the devotion of Srimati Radharani, her Mahabhav, and thinking, what is it that she sees in me? What is she experiencing? What is she tasting? What is the ecstatic emotions of her heart? Because it occurs to Krishna and this, their loving exchange, as revealed in Charitamritam, he's thinking, what she's experiencing is 10 million times greater than what I'm experiencing. And this should be encouraging to anyone who's an aspiring servitor in the devotional line. Because our mind, we're so removed from reality that sometimes we're haunted by the ghost of secular humanism, thinking somehow that, you know, being a servitor or a servant or going through another, all of these things, that somehow it's a lesser position. Krishna, Bhoktaram Yajna Tapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram, he's the supreme enjoyer, everything's meant for his enjoyment, including us, and like, what do we get? A little prasadam and a place to sleep. If you're from, that's all of Vaishnava, a little prasadam, a little seva, and a place to lie down. No, but we think sometimes like it's somehow, you know, it's our fate. we've come here, we've tried to establish ourselves as in a different, an egocentric world, starring us as the center of everything, expanding the circumference of our exploiting capacity. Then we're told, no, actually, the truth of the matter is everything's meant for Krishna, his enjoyment. He's the supreme owner, enjoyer, controller of everything. And not only everything, but we're also meant for him. But here, Krishna himself, he's thinking what Radharani, who's the supreme devotee, what she's experiencing is not only marginally greater than what I'm experiencing, it's 10 million times greater. Hare Krishna. Everything here is chinmoy. It's alive. All of the paraphernalia here. Hare Krishna. So, from Srup Damodar's diary, remember Lalita Sakhi, Radharani's right arm attendant, she knows everything. Sri Radhaya Pranaya Mahima Kidrisho Vaneva Swadro Yenadbhuta Madhurima Kidrishova Madhya Sokyam Chasya Marunu Bhavita Kidrisham Beti Lobha Tad Bhavadya Samajani Garba Sachi Garba Sindo Harindu. Three reasons. Remember, Advaita's calling, like, hearing, and then he's observed Radharani thinking, I want to experience the kind of love that she alone possesses. That means Mahabhav. Not only Krishna Prem, but Mahabhav. And what to taste the sweetness of Krishna that she's tasting. And her ecstatic, emotional interior. Those three reasons, coupled with Advaita's plaintive calls, he decides to descend. And in the words of Rupa Goswami, as given in the beginning of Charitamritam by Kaviraj Goswami, Anarpita Charim Chirat Korna Avatirna Kalo Samar Payatam Unatojala. Bhakti Ras Unatojala Rasam. Hari Pura Purita Sundar Duty Kadamba Sandipita Sadarhudaya Kandarais Puratu Vasachinandana Unatodrila Rasam. So he's saying, interesting, he's distributing, going to give what has not been given before. That's interesting. Then we have to understand again something about Krishna. We're told Krishna appears once in a day of Brahma. Day of Brahma, 4 billion, well, the total, day and night, you know, 8,600,000,000 years, but generally 4,300,000,000 years, the day of Brahma. I'm told there are Satya Treta Dwarpara Kali, that's a Dibya Yuga. There's 71 Dibya Yugas in a day of Brahma, 14 Manvantars, right? Yeah, no, and a Manu, right, and 14 of them. That makes the total of 1,000. So we're told, in the after the 27th millennium of the 7th Manu, so if there's 14, means in the 7, around right in the middle, right, and he's got 71, in the after the 27th cycle, in the 28th cycle of Vaivaswata Manu, the 7th one of the 14. And there's a reversal of Treta Yuga and Dwarpara Yuga. Just like in Ruski, dwa means two, right? Why should Dwarpara Yuga be three? And Treta, two. Dwarpara Yuga should be the second age, Treta, the third. Right? But we're told in the 28th cycle, they overlap. For some reason, some mysterious reason. And the Treta Yuga comes in the second position, Dwapara Yuga comes in the third position, and that position, Swayam Bhagavan Krishna appears. Meaning in the other ages, Krishna, but not Swayam Bhagavan Krishna. And in the other Kali Yugas, a Mahaprabhu, but not Radha Bhava Mahaprabhu in the mood of Radharani, not just Mahaprabhu giving Nam Sankirtan. And Guru Maharaj said, even sometimes he's green colored, he has different colors. Because remember, it's Radharani's bhav and kanti that makes him golden. So sometimes he said another color, you is the color of a parrot. So, in that Dwapara Yuga, Krishna comes, and he's showing his pastimes with the cowherd boys and the Brajagopis, Nanda, you said all of that, and the tastefulness of Krishna Prem. He's showing all of those pastimes, but he's thinking, for a long time, not only has it not been shown, but now he wants to distribute this to everyone. That's why I'm saying, what has not been given before? So now he's coming to personally distribute this, and not only Krishna Prem, Namo Mahavaranaya Krishna Prema Pradayate, Krishnaya Krishna Chaitana Namne Gaur Tuse Namaha. But Guru Maharaj said, when one devotee, there, it was dawning on them what he was saying, and he said, I don't understand, like, why the people of the Kali Yuga are so fallen. You would think, like, give them something nice, but the highest thing? And Guru Maharaj said, what should he distribute? Stone chips. Give everybody some stone, some pebbles. He said, no, if he's the Mahavaranaya avatar, there's no one more magnanimous than he in all these incarnations, and they've all assembled within him. Now, what is he going to give? He's saying that what he considers to be the highest. And what did we say in the beginning, the onset? What does he consider the highest? He's saying what Radharani is experiencing, that is what's charming him. So not only is he giving Krishna Prem, but inconceivably, and the Rupa Nuga line, as Guru Maharaj tells, the beyond the constitutional capacity of a jiva soul normally to experience, means Mahabhav, being distributed to the serving group. So, I was telling someone earlier, Sita Devi, recalling my own past, that coming from ISKCON, and I mean this all respectfully, coming in connection with Guru Maharaj, we underwent this kind of delightful, dramatic transformation because we're just known as, you know, the Hare Krishna people, the Krishna devotees, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. As Mahaprabhu was saying, Krishna, 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 hey. And you can say that again. Krishna, 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 hey. Right. Well, when we come to Guru Maharaj, this transition takes place where we understand the actual devotees of Krishna, the real, as Krishna himself says, it's there in his statement when he said, those who say they're my devotees directly, they're not my substantial devotees. The most substantial devotees of me are those who are devotees of my devotees. And we think, oh, that means like my guru, the Vaishnava, etc. Yes, but if you follow that thread, it's another way of saying, who's the highest devotee of Krishna? Radharani. The real, most substantial devotees of Krishna are her devotees, who are exclusively devoted to her, always promoting her. So Guru Maharaj in Sakshat, quoting Vishwanath, Sakshat aritayanasamasa shastre uktastatabhav yateva sadhi. You know, Sakshadari, how shall we see Guru? Is directly Krishna. Correct. But then coming closer, focused on Guru as Krishna, then examining with greater scrutiny, Guru and Sanat, a shift takes place. Then what? Kintu means but, with the implication of greater scrutiny and examination, the shift takes place to Prabhupriya, the one who's most, Prabhu means the Lord, Prabhupriya, the one who's most dear to the Lord. In the Bhagavatam, Achyuta Priya, here will mean Radharani, who's most dear to Krishna. So then we understand Guru is Radharani's delegation. Right? And in the prayers of Bhakti Vinod Thakur, he says, she is the Ujjwala Rasa Acharya. What Mahaprabhu has come. So, what did Guru Maharaj write in Prapanna Jivanamritam? Guru, Rupa, Harim, Gauram. When the Guru Rupa of Hari, the Guru Rupa of Krishna, the Guru form, when Krishna becomes Guru, Guru Rupa, Harim, Gauram is as Gauranga. But Radha Ruchi Ruchavritam. Radha Ruchi, what her, that means, ruchi can mean beauty, also taste. He's Radha Bhava Subalita, covered by your heart and halo. And what is he doing? Radha Ruchi Rajadhyam, Nityam Nomi, Navadvipe, Namakirtana Nartanai. Appearing in Navadvip and taking his own name, Mahapuru Gauranga Sundara Nagarabhara Nityam Nijer Namabhi. Taking his own name, sweetness itself, tasting itself, becoming mad as an outcome, ecstatically dancing and what? And giving the name, taking the name and distributing the name. Bahiranga Kore Nama Sankirtam. What is it? Antaranga Bhakta Kore Rasa Ashwadam. Generally distributing the Nam Sankirtan, and then with his select group, Sripdamidar, Brahmananda, Antaranga Bhakta Kore, with them, Rasa Ashwadam, tasting. And as Gurudev said, what is this tasting matter? It's primarily the union and separation. In separation, Bahe Vishabha Jolahoy Bitare Anandamoy Krishna Premier Adbhuta Charit. Hare Krishna. So now, from this day forward, we will be thinking about, preparing ourselves for the appearance of Sri Chaitanya Dev. And every day, reading Chaitanya Charitamritam, the Navaditam Mahatmyam, and being fortunate to do such things. But in that way, and this Sunday will be Gaur Purnima, right? At moonrise, Navadvipa Chandra. And fast, thank you. You guys are back for Gaur Purnima. Even they came. Hare Krishna. Two more. Hare Krishna. An extra one. No, he's new. It's their good fortune. They'll hear his kirtan. And what does Gurudev say in the last line of his poetry? Like, so if you go on this Navaditam Parikrama, you'll be liberated from the world, you'll get everything. And we can do that by respectfully vibrating and hearing Navaditam Mahatmyam every day. Hare Krishna.